to share stuff with everyone.
Craig's notes. Yeah, I saw that. It says she doesn't need any water. I guess Ralph drank it all. I don't know.
I should have learned it's okay. Comedian
last week. My name's Liesl. I'm an alcoholic. Thank you, Craig. Gotta go, right? All right, well, I just want to agree with everybody that's been up here. This has been a wonderful weekend. I mean, the speakers are unbelievable, right? We may take a sudden dip, but Paul's after me, so we'll be all right. I want to thank the committee for asking me to share. It's always an honor to show up for Alcoholics Anonymous. And I'm very grateful to be able to stand up in front of you this morning, because there was a time where I wouldn't have done this, you know. There's no way. As a matter of fact, as a kid, I was on the swim team, and I was a good swimmer, and there was a big meet, and I hid in the bathroom. I've been joking to my sponsor about this, but I hid in the bathroom during the race. My coach was looking everywhere for me. My mom was looking everywhere for me, and then I finally came out of the bathroom, and they were like, "Where were you?" You know. And I just remember I couldn't get out of there. I just could not get out of there and show up. And that was true for me when I got here to Alcoholics Anonymous, too. You know, just that fear that we've heard so many speakers talk about tonight or this weekend. See, it's a blur. When you come to Vegas, it's just a blur, right? It's one of the things we love about this. And Sia, oh, she's not here, but thank you, Sia, for your lead. That was wonderful. I think I didn't say my sobriety date. My sobriety date is May 10th, 2003. Thank you. It's my 87th sobriety date, I don't know. Spent many, many years, about 20 years, coming in and out of Alcoholics Anonymous. It's the one I remember and the one I'm sticking to. I'm a member of Connect the Dots, and I have an amazing sponsor. I really do. I'm going to kill him later, but I have an amazing sponsor. It's a joke. All right, so, you know, I've been asked to speak on the 11th step. Coming up off of the 10th step, which I think Sia did a wonderful job at that. You know, for me, I'm not capable of really doing a very good pause for this 24 hours that's outlined in the book, right? Unless I take time and pause in the morning. And just because I know that doesn't mean I'm going to do that. You know, I'd love to stand up here and tell you that I've been devoted to my morning routine my entire sobriety, but that would not be true, right? It's looked different throughout my sobriety, right? And when I got here in my early sobriety, I was discouraged from doing this until I got to this step, right? My sponsor had me saying very simple prayers like, "God, please help me." And at the end of the day, "God, thank you for keeping me sober today," right? And that's where it all started for me. My sponsor, my first sponsor that I had, was a wonderful woman. Her name was Nancy Stewart. She's no longer with us. And she, you know, saw in me a terrified girl. And that's not how I got here. I got here angry. I had 10,000 sons type of resentments, you know? I had like a million of them, you know? And I was afraid. I was afraid because I knew I was going to drink again. Because I always do. You know, I'm the girl that drinks again no matter what. No matter what's on the table, no matter what, how good I'm doing, I'm going to drink again because, you see, I've done that. I've done that coming to Alcoholics Anonymous. And this last time I got here, I was convinced that AA didn't work because I had tried it. Right? We're talking about these ideas, these illusions, these delusions that we have. And it was a mistaken idea, but I believed it. And I thought that I had evidence to support that. You know, I can give you a lot of reasons why I believe I drank again. Some of them are outlined in the book. They say if we don't do this, if we don't consider this, if we don't make all those amends, if we don't continue to hurt other people, we may drink again. And they don't say we will drink again. They say we surely might drink again. You know, they get a little stronger here and there because there's some people that don't drink again doing that. I did. And it wasn't until, you know, I think I was walking my dog about 2 months ago. I was telling my sponsor about this. I was listening to an old talk of Clancy's. He was about 40 years sober at the time. I just love looking up at this picture, huh? And he said something that just hit me like somebody just punched me in the chest. You know, he said it all boils down to why we drink again. It all boils down to ideas that I don't agree with. That just hit me like a ton of bricks. You know, because if I don't... I'm going to pull a Clancy on you, Larry. No, I'm just kidding. If I don't agree with them, there's a difference between not believing in them and not agreeing with them, right? And I think about that, you know. I think about, you know, when I've been here at AA before, and sometimes even... during this sobriety, this has happened for me where it's just like we're going through for breakfast, you know, a buffet, you know. Yeah, I'm powerless. Go ahead. Give me a scoop of that. Yeah. My life's unmanageable, right? I'm a little insane. I'll teach just a little bit of that, you know. Inventory. Yep. Pile that resentment on. I got that. I got no fear. Fear intolerant, you know. I take what I want, you know, take what I wanted because I'm different than you. And I don't realize that that action is still that separateness where I'm different from you. And I think I'm going to get away with it. And we heard the speakers talk about that, that we don't get away with it. We pay for it in all sorts of absurd actions, right? And I don't know any of that, right? And I drink again. The last time I drank again, I had about 4 years of sobriety. I was pulled away from Alcoholics Anonymous, right? My life, all kinds of stuff. I'm not even really sure exactly what it was. There were just things I didn't agree with anymore. Let's just say that. And when I drank, I remember thinking, why did I wait so long? Really? So I was suffering, you know, and the insane thought returned to pick up that drink, and it didn't return that day. I didn't set out that day believing I was going to drink again. It hit me in a restaurant, right? The idea to have a cocktail that nobody would know came to my mind, and I picked up that drink. And I remember the next day coming to, I had, you know, more than one, of course, hungover, thinking, what's different? Nothing's different, you know? And then the phone rang, and it was a girl that I was sponsoring. And then I knew everything had changed. It's the only thing that got my attention to what had changed. And it didn't change. It was the same as it was the day before, because I was living in that unmanageability. I was living in that untendedness that I'm going to talk about here. I wasn't setting my intention for the day. I wasn't connecting to this power for the day. I wasn't looking through my day. I wasn't watching for anything. You know? And somewhere along the line, I believe that a couple years of sobriety had given me the sufficiency. The self-sufficiency had returned again, and I couldn't even see it. I know there's a lot of people that get up from the podium and say it's not about drinking anymore, and I know what they mean by that, but for me, it's absolutely still about alcohol. Okay, I might have the obsession removed from me today, and that's not the thing I'm battling, but it's waiting for me, and I know it is. You know? And so I have to tend to my spirit, right? I have to tend to my spirit, because if I don't, I'm going to be in trouble. You know, and I get in trouble a lot. I don't want to stand up here and pretend I don't. I'm going to talk to you about a couple things, but, you know, these old ideas that I have that I look at in 4 and 5 that we heard them talk about, 6 and 7, the amends that I make, the window being clear, the channel being open, all of these things, I can't just go forward and prosper, you know? Here I go, that's great, here I go, I'm just going to go on with my life, right? One of the things, you know, I taught you about was that fear. And I can wake up with that fear in the morning. And I don't think it's a mistake that Bill talks about us waking up and asking God to direct our thinking. Because mine is sometimes already in trouble, right? This step isn't about the noise going away. I haven't experienced complete quietness up here all the time. I have had moments of that, right? It isn't about the noise going away. It's about me not hearing the noise, if that makes sense. Me not paying attention to the noise, where it just becomes this ticker tape that comes through, right? Oh, look at that. There it goes. Right? And I'm not capable of doing that without help, just like I'm not capable of not picking up a drink without this power. I'm not capable of going out into the world and trying to do God's will without God's help. You know, because I have a voice that can sound like God. God, is that you? Wow. Right? And I can get in a world of trouble when I'm out there as well. I'm just going to read this part in the book. Ooh, yeah. Okay, so back to that fear. You know, when I wake up in the morning, I ask God, like the book says, to direct my thinking, especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. That's a tall order for me when I first get here, right? I feel like Bambi with new legs, you know, like I've just come out of this, and I feel a nearness to my Creator because I have made amends, some pretty big amends, right? I have swallowed some truth and some facts about myself, and what's great about facts is facts are the facts, you know? And so I want to go out into the world, and I want God to use me, believe it or not. I do, right? And like Jennifer said, I don't know how God's going to use me. I'm sure sometimes it's a light, right? full of love, beautiful. And other times it's a great example of how not to show up in the world, right? Got a lot of those experiences too. Those are fun, especially when they happen in Alcoholics Anonymous, in a service meeting, when you're representing someone, something, and there's a 50-something-year sober woman of Alcoholics Anonymous that entrusted you to go there and represent this this group, right? And I get threatened and I get afraid, right? Because that's what happens. We heard about it. Don't mess with my honey and my money and we'll be fine. Right? And I guess I'm supposed to tell this story. Okay. It's not a very good one. But I'm at this meeting, and I'm there, and they're threatening this place I got sober, you know? I feel like they are. There's the truth. And so I want to fight. I want to fight for the right, right? That need to be right. And as you know, I feel like I'm the person they appointed to do that for some reason. The selected few, you know? This is what God wants me to do today. And some words are exchanged, and I'm doing really good. You know, it's going by, it's going by. You know, I'm staying positive, breathing in, breathing out, you know, watching for that fear. And the next thing you know, I'm up out of my chair screaming. The individual who's on oxygen, who's elderly, and I'm ready to take him outside, you know? None of that matters. And someone starts crying, and she gets up and leaves, and suddenly I'm struck, like this big hand just, you know? Wow, what just happened here? Anybody else experience that? Can't be the only one. So I run over there and I beg the girl to stay and I tell her I'm sorry. You know, because anger scares people. And my brother's sitting next to me. He's got a grin from ear to ear. He's here, so he's telling the truth. He's smiling, you know, and he's like, you rode that spiritual bull as long as you could, you know? No one expects you to make that distance. Right? And I'm angry. You know, I'm still angry. Doesn't the anger go away? And so we're walking out of the meeting, and I know I got to call my sponsor. And I know I got to call Ruth. So I called John Banning first. We're having a heyday with it, you know? And then he says, you know, you got to call Bob. You know, you got to make amends, you know? And that's what's great about having friends. They get all caught up with you, and then they remind you, yeah, but you got to still do this, you know? And so, you know, I called Ruth. That was a difficult call. She was very loving about that. You know what you got to do. I've done that too, you know, da-da-da-da-da. Call my sponsor, you know, chuckle a little, reminds me what I need to do. And then here comes the girl that I also had some words with. And she looks like she's ready to make amends, right? I don't have my phone, but this is what I do. Hello? Uh-huh. And I turn just to make sure, right? She's not going to interrupt this important phone call. And she leaves, you know. And I'm embarrassed. I'm sitting there answering the phone, doing this thing, thinking, what are you doing? What are you doing? I just can't get out of it. You know, I just can't get out of it. I'd like to say, you know, that I behaved better, but, you know, I didn't. And what I did do, though, later was make amends. Right, to the whole entire meeting, to the whole entire group. And, you know, when I got done making the amends, I did feel better. By the time it came to making the amends, I couldn't wait to do it, to tell you the truth. You know, I knew I was wrong. And God gives me the power to be able to do those things. I was just as nervous about making those amends as I can be with other things, because sometimes it's still hard to say it. And before I did the amends, I logged in early. It was on Zoom, because they didn't have any more in-person meetings after that for a minute. It was hybrid, but they decided no. And I'm sitting there, and I'm getting ready to log in, and the gentleman I was very rude and disrespectful to gets on and says he can't wait for that Liesl to be here, because we got some stuff we're going to shove down her throat. I started shaking. My wife comes out of the room. She's like, just, you know what I mean? Just breathe, pray, you know what I mean? Don't buy into this. And I'm shaking. I'm having a physical response, right? And I don't say anything. Instead, I say, hello? Hello? You know? I really hope that we can be polite and civil to each other tonight, right? Before I'm about ready to lose it. I can't do that stuff by myself, you guys. I really can't. I'm not capable of that. Before I got here, I was a fighter. I was ready to fight whether there was a reason or not. You know, I need God's help with things like that. It says that in thinking about our day, just like April read, we may face indecision. We may not be able to determine which course to take. Here we ask God for inspiration, intuitive thought, or decision. When I first got to Alcoholics Anonymous, and I'd been sober about a year, like I said, I had this tribe of old-timer women around me that kept me very busy in AA. They made it really easy for me to feel like I was doing God's will because I did whatever they told me, right? And they had me running all kinds of very strange errands, running to see people in hospitals I didn't know, giving people I didn't like rides, not just one time, but over and over and over again, shaving their dog, pulling their weeds, all kinds of things, because I wasn't employed yet. And so they would just find this list of things for me to do, and it felt like I was being used. It felt like I was doing God's will. I was doing what these women said. And then I have a little bit of time, and I'm at work. And one of the things that I've struggled with most of my life has been my sexuality. It was something I felt immense shame, remorse, embarrassment about. I spent many, many years hiding that, all the way up until this sobriety, to be honest with you. And I'm standing in a diversity session at work, and they have people go up and stand in front of the group, recognized as a diverse group. And they say the LGBT. And I don't move, you know. I'm kind of in a row with people, you know, around me. So I felt like, well, if they move, I'll move. Really, I'm afraid. I'm afraid of what people think of me, right? And I don't move, but one person does. And they go and they stand up there, and I'm looking at her, and I'm thinking, God, I wish I could go up there, you know. I just can't go up there. I can't take a chance. I can't feel this way, right? And then I started feeling awful for leaving her standing there. And she started to cry. What ended up happening is we all went up and gathered around her, and everybody cheered because that was the message of it. And I regretted that. I regretted that I left her standing out there by herself. And when I was talking to my sponsor about that, it was suggested that I reach out to her. She works in the company, right? And I did. I reached out to her, and we had a conversation. She says, "No big deal. I really hope you get over that. Really hope you can get free of that. Probably help you, you know." Thanks. I hear that a lot. Other places, too. She said, "No harm, no harm. Go on." And today, the difference between that and today is I'm not as afraid to stand alone. I'm not as afraid to go through things alone. There's times where my sponsor will ask me, "You know that God has you, right?" And for the most part, I can tell him, "Yes, I do," right? And then there's sometimes I'm like, you know? But it's me. It's never this source. It's never this power. And if I look at it closely, and that's another thing he likes to point out. Where are you at with your 10 and 11? You know, excuse me, Bob, I was talking to you about work. I was talking about my wife, right? Or I'll tell him I have trouble sleeping. He'll be like, "What's going on? What are you afraid of?" I'm like, that I'm not getting enough sleep. I still don't think of those things, you know? Still doesn't dawn on me that these are the things that are going on and that I still need help with, right? When I got to my home group, I was in really bad shape. I had about 9 years of sobriety. I was on my way out the door of AA again. I know this, only being able to look back and see that. You know, these things that I told you that I stopped doing, and you know, I had told somebody everything. I had made all the amends I could find. So there's got to be something else going on. And that's what I started to think. There's something else still wrong with me. And I walked up to Bob, and I asked him if he would sponsor me. And, you know, thinking he'd be impressed, you know, that I had 9 years of sobriety and, you know, joining this home group and asking him to sponsor me. And I looked like a train wreck. Like, I think he just looked at me like, "I can see there's a lot going on," is what he said. I was like, where's the, "I'd be honored and privileged to"? Because there was a lot going on. But I can't see it when I'm in it. You know? We go over to, you know, we go through 1, 2, and 3, and I'm over at his house, and I'm getting ready to read my inventory to him, and he says, "What's the one thing? What's the one big secret? Let's just get out of the way. Let's just whip it out, you know, and the rest of it will be easy, you know." And we're the only ones at his house. Just want to throw that in. But I've got to look around. This is good, right? It's a big one. And I tell him, I said, "Deep down inside, you know, Bob, I'm really still afraid there's something wrong with me." And he goes, "There is." And I think, oh God, he's going to tell me. Somebody's going to tell me what's wrong with me. And he said, "It's called alcoholism." Again, I can't see that. You know, I think it's got to be something else. And he says, "The good news is, Liesl, is we have a solution. right? And I felt like a new person hearing that all over again, that I needed to be reminded that we had a solution here. And he said, it's easy to get back on the beam. This is what we need to do, you know? And it goes all the way back to the beginning where those old-time women had me doing these things. And it's then that I realize how I've drifted away. Because I can get really busy in Alcoholics Anonymous and stop doing this. This is a way of resting on my laurels. You know, the whole purpose of this is to find a power greater than myself and establish a relationship. Right? And I forget that. And my actions don't look like that. My unwillingness to do this, you know what drives that? You know? My self-will, my plans, my ideas, I don't know. You know? What keeps me from going and making amends to people I know I owe amends to in my home group? Is that more important than my relationship with this power? Just like I answered that phone and turned away, I didn't want to be doing that. Sometimes I'm going to get hijacked by this, what is it? My ego, my pride. You know? And this wasn't a long time ago, guys. This was last year, I think. But everybody gets a pass in COVID. That was the mantra for a while. Everybody gets a pass. Because we were all a little crazy, weren't we? I know I was. Because there's something here with you. And this is one of the things that I missed last year, and understandably so, we couldn't gather, but I missed you. I missed the people that I see every year or every other year. I missed hearing about you. I missed hearing about your kids and your dog and your grandkids and your job and, you know what I mean? And just seeing you. There's something that happens when we gather, right? Just like it was read to earlier, you know, the shipwreck. You know, when we get together, we're happy, we're joyous, we're sad, we're this, we're that, but we're coming together and there's a unity here and there's a power here. And this is where I first felt God. Because I can't always feel God when I'm by myself. But when I'm with you, I do. There's no mistaking that. When I sit down and I work with my sponsees and they're telling me those things and I'm watching them ask themselves what these spiritual terms mean to them, and I'm watching them set these things aside and walk toward the unknowingness, just the willing to believe in something greater than themselves, and then you get to see it show up in their life. And that feeds me, because I can't always see it in my life, but I can see it in yours. It says we relax and take it easy. I could never do that. I don't know about you guys. I can relax and take it easy today. I can. I'm almost afraid to say it, but I can. You know? And it isn't because I just wishing for it to happen. You know, I've got to practice this, right? And I was the one that practiced it in the beginning. I'd be like, yeah, I tried it for a week. Doesn't work. Not feeling God. Get anything else for me? Right? Let me see. You've been trying it for 5 days. Yes. And you expect to feel the presence of God in your life and all these things. Yes. I hear everybody else talking about that. I'm not feeling it yet. Right? And I'd hear time takes time. And you've got to practice. But I don't want to practice. Right? And I'll tell you that when I am saying or doing my morning meditation in the car, my day's going to look like that. That's been my experience. Right? Or in the shower, I love that. Okay, thanks God. And you know, I'm just checking the box. What am I doing? And sometimes it looks like that, so I'm not judging that. right? But that's what it looked like in early sobriety. Oh, shoot. That's right. I'm supposed to check this box. And I can tell you that after taking time to do this and practicing this, this has become a working part in my day. This is a working part in my morning. And I actually am starting to feel something. I've been doing it now for a period of time, and I was telling my wife, I feel vulnerable. A vulnerability I haven't known of recent. Probably this last 3 weeks, it's gotten really, and I want to say weird, but it's not weird. It just feels really intimate, maybe is the word. And I have never felt that. And I'm not sure what that means. I was just given that to say, so I'm saying it. And I can tell you that in my early sobriety, I wasn't capable of feeling what I'm feeling right now. And I used to look at people who stood up here with time or shared in meetings with time, and they would talk about this or other things that they were feeling, and I couldn't relate to that. Which is good, because in the beginning, I used to think, I'm never going to make it that long. Because I didn't understand the revolutionary change that people talked about up here. I didn't understand that. That hadn't happened for me. I thought that they felt the way I did, and there was no way I was going to make it 20 years like that. Right? I didn't know that something profoundly had entered their life and had changed the revolutionary way that they think, they react, and they show up in life. And that's not just going to come to the place that I have it now if I don't tend to that. Right? It says that we don't struggle. We're often surprised how the right answers come after we have tried this for a while. Again, getting back on that beam. This isn't a long wait for Alcoholics Anonymous to start working in my life, right? What used to be a hunch or occasional inspiration gradually becomes a working part of the mind. I can tell you that that's happened for me. I can tell you that I've had situations where it's almost like I'm frozen or something. Like just watching it happen. I'm watching these thoughts come in and go out about what I should be doing, what I should be saying, who I should be choking out, you know? And I'm peaceful. It's almost like, what's going on? Flashback or, you know, like what's happening here? And at the end of it, you know, I'm amazed, right? I'm amazed. That happens with my family a lot. There's an area where I'm most amazed, right? Here's the line that really stuck out for me, being still in experience and having just made conscious contact with God. What? Here in step 10? Well, yeah, as the speakers talked about earlier, there's a lot between me and God. There's a lot of me in between me and God, and by the time I get here, I've done some work to remove that. Right? It's not probable I'm going to be inspired all times. Whew. That's a relief. Right? It's not about perfection. And it says, I may pay for this presumption in all kinds of absurd actions and ideas. Nevertheless, we find that our thinking will, as time, become more and more on the plane of inspiration. We come to rely upon it. That's a promise. There's a lot of promises in this book. And if you're wondering if this can happen for you too, or why you don't feel like this today, whether you're newly sober, whether you've got time, there's a line in here that I like too. And it says, when we draw near to him, he discloses himself to us. And usually whenever I'm struggling, I found that I have moved away from that. Not about believing that God doesn't love me or trust me, but even in the times of trial and difficulty, I have to come back to that place because I can drift. I can get swept away. And when I get drifting and I'm swept away, I miss where God wants me to show up in the day. And believe it or not, that's important to me today. It really is. And I know I probably sound like that corny AA speaker that I couldn't stand hearing before, but it's happened to me. I go out and I look in the world where I can be of service to God's people. One of the things that I do, I'll give you a little hint that helps me, is I try to use people's names if I have them, wherever they are, at the grocery store, putting my bags in. I said it to the lady in the restroom. You know why? Because it takes me, it just forces me to be right here in this moment. But it also makes people come to life. Have you noticed that? I mean, people can't say my name right, and it used to make me mad. You know? But I do. I try to be present. I try to think, what can I do? I had a situation at work where a guy was outside on the phone. We have a door. There's nobody manning the door. He didn't have the uniform on, so I didn't know if he was a vendor or he was supposed to be there. He was on the phone. I asked him if he needed to come in. He took offense to that. He said, I'm on the phone. Can't you see I'm on the phone? You know, there goes. Okay, well, I just want to make sure that, you know, you didn't need to get inside because there's nobody here. Why, thank you, you know. The security person that, you know, he comes from his rounds. He's like, does that guy need to get in here? I said, yeah, he's on the phone. He's on the phone. He'll let us know he's on the phone. So he comes in, and he says, do you and I have a confrontation? Is there something we need to talk about? Right? And the officer's like, you know, ready to, I said, yeah. I said, no. Glad you got inside. He goes on his way. The officer's like, I'm going to go tell him that. I said, no. I don't know what that phone call was. I don't know what kind of news he just got. Where does that come from? That doesn't come from Liesl just jumping out of bed, brushing her teeth. Boof. I don't have the power to do that. And when it happens, I sit there and I go, thank you, God. Thank you. I don't want to be that person. You know what I mean? I want that to become a natural thing for me, and I need your help with that. You know? I really do. You know, through the day we pause when we're agitated or doubtful and we ask for the right thought or action. This is funny. So, what was that, about a year sober when that happened with that lady? And you know, I'm very protective of who knows I'm in Alcoholics Anonymous, too. I know there's opinions about that, especially where I work. And, you know, I had a situation where I showed up at work and I was called over to a tower where there was a female that had been drinking that would not leave this man's room, and he wanted her to leave. So I go and I go over there and, you know, we get her out of the room, find out she's from AA, and that's another reason why we like to find people who are visiting here in Las Vegas, because Las Vegas is a crazy town, right? And we never know why people are here. And working in the industry I work in, I've responded to a lot of people who are drunk and have fallen off the wagon. And there's usually a good reason for that, or they're here for, you know, some stressful things, right? That's why we ask for visitors. It isn't so we can, you know, look at you. We know you're visiting. We just want to kind of rally around you and make sure that we can take you to meetings while you're here and find out what's going on, just like we do for the new person, right? Because we know you're away from your home. And that's what we do in AA. We get back to the room and she's, you know, screaming that she's in AA, she's an alcoholic, and she's going to die if she doesn't have a drink in the next minute. And they call up the manager of the hotel, and they call up this other person and this person, and she's drank everything in the nights, you know, the mini bar, and I need a drink, you know. I go over and sit down next to her, and I say, you're not going to die in a minute. I'm an alcoholic. I'm in recovery. You're going to be just fine. We can't give you anything to drink until the paramedics get here and check you out. And I find out that she came here with her boyfriend. They were both in AA. She drank. He left her there. And she'd been trying to get on a plane and go home for a week. She'd go to the airport. She'd start drinking, and she was too drunk to get on the plane, so they brought her back. Sounds like my girl. So the paramedics show up. They interview her. She calmed down when I said that, too, by the way. That was interesting. The paramedics talk to her. She doesn't want to go. They leave. She comes back. You know, she's sitting in the other room. The paramedics come back, and one of the paramedics says, you know, I just thought I'd give you one more chance. We can help you. We can get you to the hospital. We can get you separated from alcohol. You know, you can get on that plane. She seemed to know something. So I'm talking to the manager and some other people, you know. And all of a sudden, from the back room, I hear, I want to speak to the alcoholic! Everybody's looking at each other like, And I thought about how I'd never leave somebody standing there alone. You know, that living amends we make. Felt like everybody stepped back. I went back there. I sat down. And she said, if you tell me to go, I'll go because I believe you. I said, go. Go. And I found out where she went, and she did get on the plane. She did go home, and that's all I know. You know? We never know how God's going to use us. And when he does, and he calls us, you know, my spiritual condition is dependent on how I prepare for that day, how I tend to that. Am I going to balk? I'm not saying it's, if you balk, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. As you can see, I've done that. That's not the only time. Right? But sometimes I have found that when I'm tending to the Spirit and I'm taking that pause in the morning, I'm asking God to direct my thinking, to show me where I can be useful out in the world, comes together, you know. No one said anything, you know. Everybody was quiet when I came back from that room. Because you find out, you know, there's people that you run into, they're like, oh, you know, that person, they're in AA. You know, it makes me nervous to say anything, just like it did when people would say derogatory things about gay people and they didn't know I was standing there. And so this place of safety now becomes questionable for me to say anything. Just like me to let you know I'm an alcoholic in recovery, which is one of the biggest, most beautiful parts of my life. Right? I'll just close with this. Just the other day, I'm in the car with my boss, and again, I'm really private about this, right? This boss doesn't know me very well. She's known me for a short amount of time, kind, giving, loving lady. Asked me what I'm doing this weekend. I said, I'm hanging out with some friends. What kind of friends? Friends? What are you guys doing? We're hanging out. She says, why won't you tell me, you know? And we're in her car, and I'm like, well, you know, I'd really rather not tell you. It's kind of personal. And she says, you don't want to tell me because you think I'm going to judge you. I said, yep. Pretty sure you might judge me. She's like, I would never judge you, right? I know that trap, you know. I say, no, you know, really, it's okay. I'd rather not say. She says, I'm not going to let you out of my car until you tell me what you're doing. Right? Now she's got her interest. And she says, you're afraid I'm going to judge you. Are you a swinger? I can't make this up. And I wanted to say yes. I'd rather be known as a swinger than a... I said, no. And she said, well, what is it? And I said, I'm in AA. What's AA? I wish I had a response for that. I didn't. Right? And I said, it's Alcoholics Anonymous. I've been sober for 18 years. She's like, wow. I said, yeah. And I'd appreciate it if you don't tell anybody. It's kind of a personal thing, you know, for me to share with people. And she said, it's okay. I don't tell anybody you're gay. Can't make that up. And then we got out of the car. You see, I just don't know where that's going to go. It's not my job, and I'm getting more comfortable with that, is my point. You know, we all have those things we're not comfortable with, that we're hesitant to share with the world. But God's going to call you to share it, and when he does, I want to have myself. I want to try to be fit enough to take that step in spite of my fear, because I don't know where that's going to ripple out to. I don't know what he's going to do with that. And at the end of the day, when I retire at night, if I can ask myself, you know, answer those questions as best I can, I feel pretty good. And the good part about that is if I can't, I can repair that in the morning, right? I love Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, I never, ever, ever thought I would be here as long as I have. You know? So if you're out there and you're thinking that this doesn't work, it works. It's not a crapshoot like the gambling over there. There's no, okay, yep. Aw, sorry. You know, like, no, this works. And why do I believe it works when I get here? Come on, there's so much stuff I don't believe, I don't agree with, I want to argue with. I didn't have to see Bill and Bob to believe that this works. You're my living example of that. Thank you.